The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
House prices grew at an annual rate of 4.5% April to April. That's according to new figures from the Central Statistics Office. The increase is the largest recorded in more than 2 years. Could be attributable to increased savings and more remote working as a result of the pandemic, as well as some expats returning home from abroad as a result of Brexit. House prices are now rising at almost €500 per week, and the central bank has issued an ominous warning that that surge will continue this year and next. What can we do about it, if anything? Well, Rory Hearn is a lecturer in social policy at Maynooth University and the author of Housing Shock. Rory, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, when we, you know, talk about a rise of about €500 a week, you're talking about the price of a house going up by 25, 26 grand over a year, which is a pretty shocking kind of an increase. Why is it happening?
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Pat. It is a shocking increase, and it's not sustainable. Like, this isn't sustainable economically or socially. I've been contacted by people, you know, really since I suppose the housing issue has come to the fore over the last 2 months again, by people, many people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, who just, you know, are been locked out, you know, can't afford to buy a home, talking about emigration now on a significant scale. And I was just looking at the figures there within the CSO, and it's well worth people going on the website and having a look. There's a mine of information for people interested in this sort of thing. But it's well worth looking at. 91% is the increase now in house prices since the trough in 2013. So if you imagine a house that was going selling in 2012, 2013 for 200 grand, it's now 400,000. So you're talking adding 200,000. And as you said, 25 grand a year, you know, it's just not sustainable. Your question, okay, why is this happening?
I'll come back to that in a moment, but just to be sure about this, because, I mean, houses were being sold at the depths of the crash at below cost because, you know, people just had to get rid of them. So that low that you're comparing it to was an artificial low. Its natural low would have been actually higher than that. But still, there is still a massive increase in house prices. There's no doubt.
Yeah, a massive increase. And I think, you know, we could debate over, I suppose I have a point of view that at that point in time, housing was affordable. And decisions that were made since then have made it clearly unaffordable. And I suppose the point being that, yes, you're right. They were, you know, in a way, an artificial low. But the point is they have increased substantially since then. And I think that why you're seeing it, I think you pointed to some of the reasons there in terms of, you know, savings have increased during COVID. People went, you know, young people, again, telling me, you know, they moved back home with their family, have increased savings, now trying to go buy and being locked out. Clearly, the shortage, the lack of, you know, supply of housing is one of the main factors. But I think, you know, there's a number of things as well, you know, it comes back to both government and investors. Like, I think these are two of the key things that are influencing why house prices have gone so high and why there's this lack of supply. On the one hand, we have government, as you know, haven't built an affordable house for a decade, hasn't built social housing. And then on the other hand, of course, that means that people are being more and more pressured into the rental market. People are more and more pressured to try and buy. We don't have this supply of affordable homes. And on the other side, we've had since really 2013, 2014, this huge increase, like, you know, massive increase in the role of what are called non-household purchasers of housing. And that is in particular investment funds. But it's important to note it's also the state as well, local authorities, housing associations. I was just looking at the CSO figures there. The latest figures that they give, and I was putting it together there, is that in 2016, non-household purchasers bought 6,000 homes in Ireland. That's 2016. We think that's back to rebuilding Ireland. Now today, that's doubled to 12,000 in 2020 were bought. So we're seeing a doubling in the number of homes bought by these non-household purchasers. I calculate about 50,000 homes were bought since 2015 by these non-household purchasers.
And these are obviously houses that are going to be either the local authority or these investors are going to be rented. So it's not a question of creating 50,000 new houses. They're buying housing stock built by others or secondhand or whatever. So it doesn't add anything to supply.
No, it doesn't. And that's the fundamental point, that because there's a lot of argument about supply and demand. And, you know, the argument is we need to increase supply to get down prices. It's the type of supply. You need to increase an affordable supply that's below market rate in order to bring down prices. But the point is, exactly, it doesn't add to the stock. And what I'm hearing anecdotally is that there are small scale investment funds going around Dublin, and we're seeing around the country as well, buying up units that are, you know, first time buyers are saying they've been outbid by these investors, that the changes in the government measures around stamp duty don't affect. And I think that there's a real need for a number of things to be done. Firstly, I think that there was a very significant report which you covered, the ESRI statement around, you know, the ability of the state now to borrow between 4 to 7 billion additionally and recommending to build affordable and social housing. I think there should be an emergency budget put in place. We shouldn't be waiting to October to increase the capital investment into housing. The government should implement an emergency budget that would allocate, I think, an additional billion, if not 2 billion, into fast tracking the building of social and affordable housing. And I think we discussed this the last time I was on with you, Pat. I can't remember exactly whether we did or not, but you've seen that plan in North, in Donabate, in North Dublin, where Fingal County Council sold land, transferred land to a developer. And part of that is going to, it's going to build 1,200 homes, 1,200 homes. But I was shocked to see that the agreement was that they would be built over a 10-year period. And you go,
no good to anyone.
No good to anyone. Why aren't they being built within 3 years? And the reason was the council stated they didn't want to disturb the local housing market. So we have the state acting in a way that it doesn't want to increase supply that might bring down prices. And I think
the other thing is, you know, we're heading for a life of or a world of lifelong renters. There's got to be a way in which local authorities of the state provides housing for people of all levels of income and circumstance who want to rent, which exists in other countries, rather than deciding that renters will be from a particular social class and a particular income cohort. You know, there should be renting for life available, affordable renting for life with predictable rents available to everybody.
Absolutely. And I think that is a core solution to this crisis, is the government building that, what's called cost rental. And the positive thing is that they have that in, you know, Dara O'Brien has created new policy around that to support that cost rental housing, which is rental housing available for anybody on any income provided by the state, local authorities, etc. And lifetime rental, so you're not worried about being evicted. But the problem is, again, it comes back to scale. They have no plan to build 5,000, 10,000 units per year over the coming years. And this is, I think, a core part of the problem, that while the government is saying we're doing X, Y, Z, there is no scale, there's no ambition of scale. And particularly, I think the ESRI report was important on that. The other thing I think we need to do is the measures on investment funds to stop the speculative purchase of property. You could say on a medium scale, short to medium scale, I think there should be a tax or a levy brought in on purchases of homes that are being purchased by somebody who isn't going to live in them. And that would mean a levy. So therefore, you're essentially saying the housing market for the coming, let's say, 3 years is only open to people who want to buy a home.
Who are going to live in it. Exactly. Look, we have to leave it there, Rory. No doubt we'll hear more about this as we try to address an unsustainable rise in house pricing, really. That's Rory Hearn, lecturer in social policy at Maynooth University and the author of a great book called Housing Shock.